This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, hey, it's Dave from before. Dave Phil from Show Business here to let you know that today I'm on the Growlix Saves the World podcast, what critics are already calling the greatest episode of the Growlix Save the World ever, and pretty much the greatest podcast episode of all time, because I'm totally on it. Okay, it's pretty much just me saying that, honestly, but I think if you listen, you'll totally agree that I fucking nailed it.
We're getting big, our worries are mixed as a
If a podcast uploads in the middle of the night and you're not awake to hear it, does it make a sound? It does. The very words you're hearing right now. Welcome to the Growlix Saves the World. My name is Adam Caton Holland.
I'm Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orvidal.
And this is a comedy podcast about bettering your world. And I'll be up front, I don't know how podcast technology works. What I assume is producer Ron gathers the files and has sort of one giant phone that he pushes them into. He grabs Ben's audio, my audio, everyone's audio, forces it into a sort of Omega phone that broadcasts outward.
And you're not...
Right. I mean, I'm in the wheelhouse, right?
You're not far off. It's like those Play-Doh spaghetti machines, but reverse. He's got to push it into all the little holes to make it go into the pipe that goes to the internet.
And there's different types of cell phones. There's different types of listening devices. So he has to sort of go through every one of those iterations. And I'm always asleep, and I wake up, and suddenly there's an episode. So I assume in the middle of the night there is a noise once it's uploaded. You know what I mean? Like it's a... Or just a kind of a click or something.
It's like an old school fax.
Do you have any intel on this? You know,
I don't. I thought your guesses were pretty good. I thought a lot of them were pretty well thought out. I thought
I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not a scientist, and
no.
I'm certainly not an audio engineer.
No.
I'm just a guy.
No, you're a guy.
With his friends.
You're a guy. Just a guy.
Exactly.
You do guy stuff. I know you. You like to rake.
I like to rake. I like to kite surf. I like to kite surf.
Dude loves to kite surf. He likes a cool Sprite on a Sunday morning. You like to sit out on the porch and have a nice Sprite. And, you know, I get it. You love Grisham. You like all of that.
I do. So
stuff.
It's like I'm not sitting here thinking about why the stuff that I love is in my phone. But if anyone knows out there in listener land, let us know how podcasts work. And I guess this is a really great opportunity to bring in our guest, who we're so excited to have.
What a
because he might have the answer.
Oh,
he might have the answer.
I got you. I was like seamless intro.
No,
Adam.
No. I'm not jumping off this riff yet. There's still some meat on the
I was going to say, you're leaving a riff carcass.
I'm saving some of the riff for our guest because I'm polite. We've been wanting this guy for a while. We're so excited to have him. International rock legend Dave Hill. Welcome
Holy
to the podcast.
Shit. Day.
Welcome, welcome.
Hello. Yeah, this is a huge get.
Monday morning, 9 a.m. We know you've got a lot of other stuff going on right now.
Oh, big time.
Dave, we know you know rock. We know you know comedy. Do you understand how podcasts work, how they get into your phone, and if there is a sound that's made when it arrives at your phone? Do you have any sort of inside Hollywood track on this?
No, what I do know, I think you guys are doing a better job than just based on Instagram. whereas mm-hmm. where I get a sense of most podcasts that exist.
Okay.
You guys are not kicking back, cross-legged, talking into those SM7 microphones that are very popular. And I just from a tech standpoint, no. You're already so far ahead of all the clips that I've seen.
Oh, because our microphones are legit.
Yeah, well, just like, I don't know. I just see guys sitting back, and a lot of them wearing shorts, which right away is a huge no-no for me. and this is my problem with it. And these, a lot of times, these are people that I like, and then I see them sitting there wearing shorts for all the world to see, sitting back talking. I don't know. It just is a slippery. Yeah. It's a slippery slope.
I get what. Well, when you're in a band as big and as powerful as your band, if people listening don't know the dangerous snakes who hate bullshit.
No, that's my street gang. Oh, you gotta fire your research. Jesus. You gotta fire your research guy.
I'm not firing my research. We don't even have one. That's me.
It's understandable. That's my street gang. My rock band is Valley Lodge.
Okay.
But it's everything I do is kind of a blur at this point. Street gang, comedy,
gang, band, it's all the same.
Hanging out with my dog. It's all kind of one mushy thing right now.
I kind of agree, Dave, and I think it's like that's the best part about you is it seems like they're like, who's Dave Hill? What does Dave do? And I go, Dave's a rocker, Dave's a comic, Dave's like a sort of international man of mystery. He's an author. He has a dog. It's all the same. I couldn't just stop at one of those. I'd be doing a disservice to the other.
No, I'm basically living my life, and people are, you know, basically helping themselves to the golden corral that is my body of work.
Can I talk about
the golden
bring
corral?
A new plate
buffet,
each trip. You have to bring a new plate each trip.
You do. I mean, respectfully. I mean, this does hint at a lot of the things I want to say later, but yeah.
Well, I've often said, try to sneeze on anything Dave Hill does, it'll get blocked. It'll get fucking blocked.
This is people try, but they can't. Yeah.
Now we brought Dave on to talk about ways in which he would like to better the world, how we can help him out. But first, we want to talk about ways that Dave's bettering the world. Dave, you got to tell us about this national anthem stuff. It appears because you've been watching us on Instagram, I've been watching you on Instagram. It appears you've just put your services out there as an amazing guitarist to play the national anthem for hockey games.
Yeah.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, basically, you know, my most recent book came out in October. I'll tell you the title. The Go Awesome Game, One Man's Incredible Globe-Crushing Hockey Odyssey. With the book done, I thought, well, I kind of want to keep the hockey fund going, but I don't have my publisher's money or influence to help. So what can I do? What am I sweet at? Ripping solos. Who needs guitar solos? Everybody. But I thought, since I'm not, I can't, my playing days are behind me on the professional level. So I thought I could play the anthem at a hockey game. So I put on Instagram, I want to play the national, my original plan, I wanted to play the national anthem at an NHL game on skates while skating around. Then at the conclusion of the anthem, set the guitar down, feedback, all that. And then I put some gloves and grab a stick.
Yes.
And then I just, boom, fire like four or five slap shots from the blue line, upper left, upper right, whatever. And then be done with it. So I put that out there. And also, so many people, you know, I'm a former NCAA hockey player. A lot of people don't add that to the list.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
I'm not even joking. Look at me. I'm in a tracksuit right now. What do you think?
Yeah. Where? What school?
Adam,
what school?
Shut the fuck up. You did not play NCAA.
I did too. I played for Fordham University in the Bronx. There's a bit of a loophole. We were technically NCAA, which is why I say that with such confidence. But I think it was really just intercollegiate club. but somehow, I swear to you, it was recognized by the NCAA as being high enough to be considered NCAA. But it was like glorified high school hockey. But anyway, so I did play, and so I wanted to play. I wanted to play the anthems, and I put it out there. And Raj Suresh, a hilarious comedian friend, he knew someone at the Cleveland Monsters. And you're like, well, that's an AHL. Yeah, it is. Minor league. But then I was like, that's even better. Yeah, work my way up from the minors. So I played it in Cleveland. I was home in Cleveland for Thanksgiving, where I'm from. Played the Cleveland Monsters were playing the Toronto Marlies. That's the Toronto Marlies. The away team gave me an entire backpack full of swag. Cleveland Monsters gave me,
because they were so impressed with your performance. They were just like, here, have this swag, represent us.
Basically. And I screwed up the Canadian anthem. Granted, they gave it to me before the anthems, though I did screw up the Canadian anthem.
They take the pants back. They're like, yeah.
They were like, fuck off.
You don't wear the pants.
They should have. I did. I felt really bad. I texted Will Burns, the equipment manager, who's really, to be fair, my only friend on the team. The other guys, I would like to think I have their respect, but I don't know. But I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, you kept going, and that's what mattered. Anyway, great guys.
So the sad thing is, this is minor league hockey. For you to get that, there is a player who can now not wear that. Like, they had to take that from a player for you to be able to rock that.
So yeah, exactly. Some kid is playing like junior A in Canada because of me.
You freezing.
Know? Yeah. And so then I want to play the NHL. And then a friend knew a guy at Violent Gentleman, you know, which is a hockey clothing brand, which is awesome. And then they knew someone at the Anaheim Ducks. And so I was going to LA anyway. And so the Ducks were playing the Maple Leafs like this almost 2 weeks ago now. So I go there. I'm like, this is it. I did it. And I did it. And I don't know if you've followed the backlash.
I have been. Been following. You shared a clip of some newscasters not happy with your
performance. No, I mean, as you know, this booking came about, this booking on your podcast came about as a result of the damaged PR firm that I hired. They're like, first stop, Grolix.
The Grolix saves the world.
Let's get in front of this story.
We saved Rob Lowe. Remember, Rob Lowe was a pariah.
Oh, yeah. Because he had that threesome. You guys were...
And we got him... Dave, we got him Parks and Rec. We got
him Parks and Rec.
He was in an oil spill, and we scrubbed that duck up, and we put him back out in Hollywood.
Now deposed Somali warlord Mohammed Farah Adid appeared on this show for just to kind of change his image, because I think and after we, Black Hawk Down, it was
originally just to chat, but then we managed to
turn him around.
He's selling hymns now. He's selling hymns. We got him.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're talking about church songs or boner pills, but either way, pretty funny.
Both.
So what? Why were they upset? Were they upset because you were playing it on the guitar, that you were like ripping it?
All great art is polarizing. And and I believe my anthems fell into that. Yeah, people, I did the anthems and I thought, this was fun. I got a free Ducks jersey. My friends and I saw a game. We had great seats. We had free coconut shrimp and other fixins. And I figured that was it. Move on to the next chapter of life.
Live your life.
Yeah, I was like, that's over. And then the next day, there was a Sportsnet, which is like a hockey, I think, in Canada. Yeah. Is it just hot in Canada? I don't know. But they, William Nylander from the Maple Leafs, a player who he was laughing. I think
it was Anaheim versus Toronto, right? So
there's a clip of him laughing during the anthem. I think laughing in a way like where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this awesome guy is doing this. That's what I choose to believe. But he was kind of like looking and like smirking at like, it's very funny. And and they covered, like, the Hockey News covered it, which is like the hockey Bible. My dad used to bring me home issues of the Hockey News when I was a kid from the newsstand by his work. So to be written, they wrote about it in the Hockey News. So I was like, would have been cooler if I, you know, got it because, like, I won, like, you know, the Hart Trophy or something. But it was because of my anthems. But, like, so so many hockey websites wrote about it. But, yeah, then Breakfast Television, Adam mentioned this. They're like the Today Show, Good Morning America of Canada. It's on YouTube. They spent a solid 4.5 minutes just talking smack about me and my anthem playing, yep, which was amazing. And truly, I loved it. What made it especially delightful to me was I've been a guest on that show twice, most recently in October. And somehow, I mean, I get it. Like, shows like that have 7 million people on every day, you know? But, like, I can't believe that not a single person was like, wait a minute, that guy was just here.
Like, you had that, dude. Well, I watched the clip, too, and they were like, who even is this guy? What is his angle? It says comedian. I don't know. Like, that's galling. You were on the fucking show. Talk about fire your researcher. Ben's just doing it on his own, but you know they got a team.
Yeah, they have like Ben's one guy. They got at least two. Yeah, they could have Googled. They could have Googled. But no, it was amazing. Like,
it was amazing.
I was really psyched. I mean, there was a part of me the first day, because I didn't expect there to be anything other than maybe people commenting on my Instagram about it. But, like, because, you know, like, you go, like, I separate myself from my art or whatever. But then after a whole day of people saying how much they hate you, part of it crosses over into, you're like, well, I'm an actual guy who's meeting friends later for dinner, and I this kind of is getting to me just a tiny bit. But I mean, I did get so many nice messages about it. So I think, dude,
I loved it. Like, I think you crushed it in that it was like you did do deference to both the anthems, but there were moments of just like over the top shredding that were funny as well. So it was like you doing it, having a little bit of leeway with it, but staying true to the songs, realizing it's an anthem. I mean, I know you could do that for 40 minutes.
Yeah, when they have a human singing, they're always going nuts with the anthem. It's like, relax. What are you auditioning for? Just finish the song so we can watch the game. My God.
Well, you sound like the people complaining. Yeah.
No, I'm saying that if someone was shredding it on a guitar, I'm 100% on board and I can't wait to check it out. But when someone's just like
nice save. He totally was shitting all over you, Dave. And
I was not at all.
What a reputable gang leader you are, and that you control the streets. And I think
Do you think Andrew has a separate account that he's been shredding Dave on? He's been like,
he might. I mean, I
have anthem is sacred.
The one thing that maybe the funniest thing is, despite people thinking that I was over the top, and me listening to it later and thinking, oh, some of that was a bit much, at the time, like that night, I thought I played it way too safe. Like
dude, can I just say, I'm sorry, I've watched this. There was no safety in that at all. And that's what I loved about it. Knowing you and knowing your ability to play, I thought it was fucking so fun and so great. But if people just see you walk out on the ice and you start shredding that thing, it's so absurd and insane. It was so good. It was so good. And it'll be appreciated for years to come.
I genuinely thought, oh, I was a little too faithful to the original, but I don't know. The thing is, I was maybe going to do it at an Edmonton Oilers game, like in a couple weeks, and it'd be in Edmonton. Oof. And then they wrote back to doing this festival, and the festival was trying to get me on it. And they forwarded the email from the Oilers, and the Oilers were like, we saw Dave, that was on national TV here last night, and we really don't think he helped his case. We decline.
Whoa. Edmonton's not a good place for that.
And that's Edmonton's loss. And I want to say, if anyone listening to this, we have a lot of fans everywhere, but if anyone is in the Colorado Avalanche,
family,
Dave has crushed at the High Plains Comedy Festival numerous times. Anyone here has any connections to Colorado Avalanche, it is a killer, killer opening. Dave, this could happen or not, but if anyone out there has any connections with Colorado Avalanche, get Dave Hill
to
play the national anthem.
Could, if you could do it at an Avs game, that would be so amazing. Oh, that'd be awesome.
I would be thrilled because Avalanche, as I'm sure you know, used to be the Quebec Nordiques, one of my favorite teams, and the greatest NHL jersey of all time is the Nordiques.
Oh, so absolutely. Those are such good jerseys.
I've kind of adopted the Avalanche on my list. I mean, I can't really narrow it down to one, but I mean, I go Rangers and I kind of expand teams that I accept. And Avalanche are on my short list of teams that I can support in their hockey efforts.
You hear that, Avs? You're on the short list. So
Dave Hill's
the
short
love.
List.
The love. Dave, we have to get to the subject at
we
hand on our podcast, which is you know, making your world a better place. This disrupted your world a little bit, but it sounds like you've already sort of smoothed it over and moved on because you're a healthy guy.
Oh, sure.
But I asked you to bring to the podcast something that's disrupting your world that we could help you with a little bit. And you responded with a list that was so large, I was shocked.
And so, told you he's an author.
So I wanted to let you in the second half tell us what it is that you would like to discuss. But I have to ask you about a few that we have crossed off the list. One thing that really gets your goat, apparently, is wrap sandwiches. You don't like wrap sandwiches. Go ahead. Opine, my friend.
I just think they're fascist, honestly. Like, it's like, what if all it is like a shitty burrito. It's like, what if we filled a burrito with all the worst possible ingredients? I'd rather have just a mediocre sandwich rather than a wrap, which is what a wrap is. And also, you only see wrap sandwiches in spaces of oppression, like someone's has to work through lunch.
Yeah,
or there's
true.
Like a get together and someone was just like, how can we technically feed a large group of people while also not giving a fuck about their well-being? Wrap sandwiches. Go get yourself a wrap sandwich.
I love the idea of a wrap as a tool of oppression is killing me for some
truly
reason.
It's like no
I mean,
one...
you also only see them in airports. Like, are you going to be sitting confined for a while?
yeah exactly. It's completely because it's like design, like nothing can it's like
flour
something...
tortilla, gross turkey, shitty lettuce.
You know what I mean, though? It's just like,
you held your hand in the shape of a wrap.
It's
and
truly.
You, just went, you know what I mean? It's just a gah. You know what I mean?
It's horrible. Yeah, horrible. I could.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you've been heard. We want our guests to always feel they've been heard. So you Thanks. Heard. The other one that really. I found funny the fact that CVS seems to rearrange the store every time I go. And this just does feel a little bit like something like one of our dads or grandfathers.
I agree. I don't know if it's like early onset dementia, but truly the CVS by my house, every time I walk in, I'm starting from zero. No, I've never been there before. Every single time, I never like, oh yeah, deodorant's over there. I start over.
It's better than the Walgreens model of like, we're gonna have less here every time you come. Like this, we're closing over the course of 15 years.
Slow close. We're doing a slow close.
There'll be less departments and lights and products.
There
but
is,
we are open. The pharmacy's
there is
open.
No more terrifying place on the planet than the first 8 feet in front of a door at a Walgreens. That
oh,
area.
Yeah.
That,
on
like,
either side, exterior
yes, exactly.
or interior.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like reverse impulse buy, like people just parting with things. They were like, I don't need to dye my beard. I don't need Easter candy in August. You're like, they just get rid of everything.
Slowly, it's just going to be a Goodwill. You'll just go in, and there'll be cardboard boxes of old clothes, and you can just have them or not. You can leave, take something, leave something.
Yeah, their slogan. What is it? It's at the corner of. What was? Do you remember that? It was their slogan for it. God,
what?
I feel like Walgreens just stared at their own "take a penny, leave a penny" for years, and they're like, "What if that was our business model?"
Shop up a little, forget a little something inside.
All right. So those are two gripes that I really liked, Dave. We're gonna have to take a quick break, and when we come back, you tell us what you really want to get into.
Okay.
We're gonna get to the main meat of Dave's gripes here after this break, but we got to pay a few bills with an ad break. So we'll be right back. In the meantime, if you want to check out our Patreon, you can check it out at patreon.com/GrolichSaves. You can get ad-free episodes, all kinds of great bonus stuff, our little secret podcast within a podcast. Check that out. And we will be right back with special guest Dave Hill to hear about his number one gripe.
Hey, do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/GrolichSaves.
I do want to sign up.
Please rise and kindly remove your hats. And now, and as now, we honor two great nations and our armed forces around the world, please welcome comedian and musician Dave Hill with his renditions of the Canadian and American national anthem.
We are back. It is the second act of the Grolic Saves the World through the magic of podcasting.
Oh, Adam,
yes,
Adam.
Yes, you got something.
It was Walgreens at the corner of happy and healthy. That was their slogan for like ever up until like 6 years ago. And then I think they were like, well, it's now like at the corner of, is that a needle? And what's that on your face? That should have actually been what the slogan is. But I also did a little research.
We'll fill your prescription when we get to it. That's
what it is. I actually did a little research, and because I'm the research crew, and I do a lot of work for just one person.
I do feel like Dave sort of made you a little bit like he sort of went at you on the research, and now you're trying to show him how good.
Well, I want him to know that I'm capable of putting together some stats and some numbers and some figures.
Well, he has glasses on, so I just assume that he does that.
He's the smartest of the three, but Dave, we actually all share a pair, and it's Ben's week.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This makes sense now. Now that I'm hearing it, this does make sense.
And we do them in my prescription, which is the strongest prescription, and everybody has to go the week while wearing, you know, my correction. So, but I wanted to ask you all, do you know what the acronym for CVS stands for?
No.
Child Vocational Services.
What?
There's a guess.
Child Vocational Services.
Yeah, in the back. They got kids. They got kids back there.
That's a good guess.
Loading up the black licorice.
I want to guess country violence school. They teach you violence, but like country violence.
Oh, we should form a band called that.
Violence school.
Country violence
cool.
school.
That would be cool if it was like a Hank 3 kind of situation.
That's
like
what I was singing, kind of like.
You know what I mean?
That would be, because my first thought was like folk hardcore, but that's like Hank 3 adjacent.
Yeah, it is very Hank 3 adjacent or Super Joint Ritual.
Another great band.
Dave, any guesses what CVS stands for? Our research analyst Ben gives us the truth. Any guesses?
Care. That's it. That's my guess.
All right. Well, incredibly enough, CVS, the acronym means Care Viz.
Holy smokes.
And it said the same way, even the way they listed here, it said it's reluctantly.
It's a question mark.
It means it stands for Consumer Value Store, which was what it was originally called, was the Consumer Value Store.
Wow, what a
and then they
grossly
shortened it to CVS when they realized they had none of anything listed in the title.
So, Consumer Value Store. Yes, yeah, amazing. The humans enjoy things like this. Fuck off.
Dave, this is a podcast about bettering your world. Anything that's been disrupting your world lately you want to talk about? You gave us a few good things up front. What is it you'd like to talk about today on the pod? What can we help you with?
I kind of had two that I think were tied. Should I mention them both and we can focus? My main one.
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, they're kind of the reason I don't like them is for the same reason, really. But people that wear sweatpants in public or any sort of comfort attire.
Leisure wear?
No, I shouldn't say. I know. This is why I started backpedaling. Well, the thing is, I am wearing a tracksuit, but I'm in my own home. I just think that you shouldn't wear, like, especially, this is primarily airport stuff, like sweatpants. I feel like it's not enough fabric in between me and your butthole at 10,000 feet or whatever.
At altitude.
And like, I think, and then it extends to flip-flops or any sort of open-toed thing. I think flip-flops should be illegal within 50 yards of your home and or a natural body of water. The other thing, tied, and you can, any sound that your phone makes is unacceptable. I don't think phones, like if I hear anything other than your voice speaking on the phone, which even that I'm against, I think cell phones should explode if you try to use them within 30 yards of another human being. They should just, but and if you speak too loud, they should also explode. And, the thing that made me think of that one, I was on the Metro North, one of the popular trains we have out here, out east. And this woman was like, this is the biggest violation you can possibly make is the ticking sound when you're typing and it goes like, you know, you can have your phone make us. What jackass would be like, yeah, I'm going to need that. I'm going to need that.
I know.
Working. Oh, you mean the.
It's
like the keyboard sound.
Who invented that? Dude, it's like, we're going to make every idiot think that they're Ernest Hemingway clackety clacketing. Like, ooh, look at this antiquated sound of typing that they're sending off a fucking eggplant emoji with. That's wild that ever became. Like, some designer, some developer is like, I got a really good idea for phones now.
Completely like, I'm with you on horrifying and unacceptable. But yeah, anybody that uses speakerphone to watch this thing, like people do it and then you think, well, maybe they don't know, but then you're like, no, they know they're a fucking asshole in their heart of hearts. They know.
All right, there's a lot going on here. This is good stuff.
First of all, I want to say one thing. I loved when my favorite reaction so far is Dave going, there's just far too little fabric between me and their butthole. And Adam, you earnestly went, sure.
Yeah.
Wait. Well, wait,
it was the earnest.
Adam is a professional.
And tell me, and when did you notice the lack of fabric between the butthole and you first?
I just, well, sure. You're asking me?
I go full NPR. No, I'm just going full NPR for the fun of it.
Dave, we go to Rift City from time to time, and I don't think we've fed, we filled you in on Rift City, but it is.
You
got
to go to Rift City. Rift City, population Grolix, guys.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, 420.69 is the population currently right now.
And we actually have a standing thing that it can't change. So if someone is born in Rift City, someone must die in Rift City. They, so 420.69 will always be the population.
Whoa, yeah, that's serious.
It's called it's the sangre por sangre rule, which is just a blood in, blood out kind of a thing. You know,
she goes down in Rift City. But we are actually in search of a national anthem, Dave. So if you
shred here anytime.
You've
anytime.
Just hit a street called Easy. I can do it. At a moment's notice.
That's a place in Rift City, a street called Easy.
The Easy Street.
I'm always ready.
It's the red light district.
Just out of screen. The amp guitar is. I'm always ready. Always ready.
Back to the sweatpants gripe, I will say, that's actually evolved. That now. It's pajama bottoms in public all the fucking time. Yep. At my daughter's school, they wear pajamas very regularly, like it's regular clothes. The other night, I was in the grocery store. I saw an adult woman wearing what could only be pajama bottoms shopping. And it doesn't necessarily bother me on the same level as it does you, but it definitely makes me think that we're hurtling towards an age where people are just full on tops and bottom pajamas, onesies. Everyone's just ready for bed, ready to immediately go to bed at any moment.
Yeah. And I just think like someone's discomfort should not lead to someone else's. No, someone's comfort should not lead to someone else's discomfort. And that's the universal problem here. Of like,
I agree
you,
with that.
You want to be comfortable at Walgreens or on the plane, which is far worse. I wanted to go back to like, you know, the 50s when people would get dressed up like in a suit.
And you could smoke on the plane.
Have a nice steak.
I don't even smoke, but I want all of this back. All of it.
I want to be able to take my young child, 7, 8 years old, on a plane and have them drink with me. Like, I want them to be able to have a cocktail with their dad. And I miss those days. Like,
exactly. Do you know the movie The Bicycle Thief, the Italian movie from
classic,
whatever, is it the 40s? The kid in that movie is like 5 years old and is drinking wine in every other scene. That's how it should be. Drunk little
kids.
That's
what they paid him.
Yeah.
if we had more drunk kids, I don't think we'd need to do this podcast. I think the world would be a lot better place. And I'm saying that, Dave, I want to say that I'm 13 years alcohol free, but I admit I have the problem, not the kids. The kids can handle it. It's, you know, so.
Roving street gangs full of red wine drunk little boys. Why not? Why not?
I think the Catholic Church already answered why not on that one.
You raise a good point.
So we do try to be a little proactive on this one. And like, there is a sort of slobbiness pervading society. And I'm all for people having comfort. But I agree, especially in the airport, on planes, people are taking their shoes off, bare feet are out. There's not a lot that I think we can do as individuals short of being examples of the opposite, right? Like, you can't go tell somebody get their shit together. Like, you can't go tell them you're gross in the airport, stop. So I think like all you can really do is be the change, I think. And Dave, I don't know if you're buddies with Nick Thune, but I am, and I follow his Instagram, and he's hilarious. He often does a best dressed at the airport. And he's always like, I won best dressed again. And he'll like show and he'll pose and he'll just sort of be, look at this outfit that I crushed it, best dressed at the airport yet again.
1,000. I applaud it. Most trips I'll take a pair of, you know, dress shoes, non sneaker based shoes.
Waiters, hip. Length waders.
Yes, exactly. And then I'll take my running shoes. Would the running shoes be more comfortable in the airport? Without question. Do I wear the fancier shoes in the airport? Every single time. Because to your point, I want people to see me and be like, there's a guy who's not human garbage. he's putting an effort out.
It is a good point, because but you're doing it better than I do, because I bring nice shoes and I wear those shoes on stage, and then I bring sneakers as well to jog or just comfortable shoes. But I'm not as far as you are. I always wear the sneaks because I want the comfort. The dress shoes are in the bag, so maybe I should step it up a little bit.
I think you could
boots. I don't know.
This is again. This is a. I'm probably steering it somewhere else, but. People will often say to me, like, oh, how aren't you hot? Like, because I'll be wearing a jacket and, you know, not be just walking around in a t-shirt. And I'm like, the pictures, no one's going to remember whether I was hot or cold or whether I was really comfortable. They're just going to, the pictures will tell the story of whether or not I looked amazing. And that's what I'm concerned with.
Well, that's really the story that everybody wants to read too. I mean, I feel this way at comedy shows. I don't care, but I do love when I'm at a show and people are, they look good for the show. It's like you're going out to the theater. To me, it's like you're taking the experience of like, we're going out, we're doing something. I do like that. As somebody who, like you, Dave, travels a lot and flies a lot. Fuck, do I hate getting dressed up. I just want to put on jeans and a sweatshirt and sneakers and get on it. But when I see somebody dapper, I think that's an international person. This is a person who has somewhere to be and is doing something important. So
there's a
kind
passport
of
in that inner pocket.
I just look and I'm like, that it looks like hell. That's hell.
Oh, Andrew, you've been known to pack yourself into your own backpack as a sort of look.
Yeah, I save a lot of money flying carry-on. Yeah.
Andrew, what is your approach to air travel and dress?
Yeah, mine is like, I guess, similar to Ben's. It's definitely comfort first. I look like I just wandered in out of the woods from a duck blind, and I'm getting on my flight.
Oh, it's wait, are very, you... This, are you one of those people, this is a subcategory, but people that look like they're ready to camp immediately when they're at the airport, people who are just like, I've got my, there is like, I'm about to march into the woods. People who are dressed.
That would probably
like,
be my aesthetic.
Oh,
I would say.
Hate that. And then that goes right into the other subcategory of people who are prepared with snacks. I hate it. Like people who are like, hang on, I'm just going to have a Go-Gurt real quick. I'm just going to have an energy bar. I hate that. I purposely, my girlfriend sometimes, because she's the best, will be like, oh, do you want to take a banana or something with you to the airport? I'm like, no, I want to get there. And if I'm hungry, I want to just deal with it at the airport. Now, I recently became a member of the Delta Sky Club, so this is irrelevant
now. All right.
But, Jesus, and I didn't mean to, that's not what I come here to say this.
We invite a guy that writes and he's a gang member and he plays music. We knew we were going to get bragging. We knew we were going to get bragging.
I know, yeah. It goes with the territory.
It, guys. Yeah.
No, it's a lot. But I just think like, people that like be like, well, I knew I was going to be out all day, so I just packed a little Tupperware and I'll just have this real quick. I hate, and then they bring like, I'll bring a metal spoon and it's clack. Oh, they always clack.
This is where we part ways, Dave. I can't agree with you on this one for a lot of reasons.
Wait, and well, you have children, so I understand the need, but I'm just saying,
this has nothing to do with children.
Oh, here we go.
Okay,
oh, shit.
I'm curious.
Yeah. Oh, that's
first
that's
of
just
all,
getting dangerous.
For the
here.
Most part, airport food sucks. So if I can. Like, I like to go to a little market and get a good sandwich the day before, especially if it's a long flight. Like, I should have eaten lunch in that time.
That's, you're talking about something completely different. I'm talking about stuff prepared at home where people are like, I just made this quinoa, broccoli, sesame thing, and I made enough for 6 weeks, and this is the portion I brought with me to the airport.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. I'm not. You're talking about just eating better food. No. So we're back. I feel like we're back.
All right, we're back on the same page. We're back on.
Yeah, I don't do that. I can't imagine traveling with an empty, dirty Tupperware in my backpack. Would drive me insane. It would be crazy.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
Do we get any points for it being green? It is green. There's no waste.
I'm all for being green. I never accept takeout utensils. I'm as green as possible. but I do think, like, this is the thing. I think you can do exactly what I've described, but just, like, don't let me find out about it. Like, if you're gonna eat, like,
eat it in the bathroom, like an adult.
Yeah, go in a stall, go in a corner. I went to an audition recently for a commercial. I didn't book it, let's be clear. And this guy comes out of his audition, guess he had other stuff, and he sits down next to me, opens a Tupperware thing, and starts eating it with a metal spoon, clacking his teeth, as if that's not enough for me to, like, just choke him dead right there. He starts watching a video on his phone and laughing audibly at the video. And I'm just like,
was this Ben? Look, let's just cut the bullshit. Was it Ben?
Well, you guys.
You kind of are describing Ben.
That's why I say these things.
Do things of that nature, Dave. And
go ahead, Ben. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I was just going to say that I think relating to that person, I think they're just probably so in their own head. You know, they don't think about the other people around them. And I think it's okay to say, hey, could you not be so gross? Because Adam says things like that to me all the time. And I find that it only sort of hurts. It's not as bad as you. It only kind
of
hurts.
But I got almost 20 years of warming up the friendship to get to the point where I can say, you're gross. You're not even just
being
gross.
Well, I think
gross.
It's the friendship that hurts the most about it. Huh. So I think if you take away the friendship part, it may not even hurt at all. Because part of what hurts is when you say, like Adam straight-faced says to me, Ben, you're a gross person.
because
we've known each other for so long. But I don't think I would take it as seriously, you know, if it was somebody I didn't know or if it was a guy I knew that had just played the national anthem at an Anaheim Ducks show.
Sure.
You know, so.
I just got roasted by that national anthem guy.
the offenses almost go hand in hand. It's like if you are a person who's prone to eat in front of other people in a really sort of public setting, inevitably, like you're saying, you're going with like aggressive flavors and smells. They're not eating something innocuous. It's something that they lift the Tupperware lid and it's like, my God, the whole plane.
Yeah, that fucking
smells
yes.
like what
like
you
fish.
Brought.
It's like everyone knows you're not supposed to be bringing fish onto a plane. I remember one time I did this the series of road gigs and I brought salmon jerky in the car and people were so mad. And I didn't think of it. It was like, and you just make that mistake once in your life and then people are like, you're fucking insane. I can't believe we've had to go on this multi-city trip with you eating salmon jerky in the car. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. That was a huge, huge mistake.
I was on a train from Barcelona to London and I went to the bar car and I ordered tuna salad and I thought it was American style tuna salad cold with like mayonnaise, you know, in a sandwich, but they just slid this can across to me and it's basically tuna in oil with peas and carrots. That's it. And I cracked this fucking thing open in the
like a grenade
my seat and everybody was like, everybody hated me. The glares, they were like, this film is from America.
Dios mio. And then mon dieu an hour later.
Yeah. Mujle mud. But yeah, they were not happy. That's funky smelling foods. I don't even like if it's an appetizing smelling food on a plane and overwhelming. It pisses me off because I want some. I'm like, well, you fucking got French fries, and now you're going to eat these fucking French fries, and the cabin smells like that. I agree with you on that one, too.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's a really – because I've been thinking all you can do is be the change, right? How do we proactively solve this? Be the change. Be a better example. But what if whenever we see someone eating this weird thing, you ask for a bite, and they might be so shocked that they're like,
I'm never bringing it again.
Because people are like – keep coming up asking
that
for bites.
That smells like my nana's couscous salad. Could I have a bite? Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe, yeah, you just lean in the other direction. But going back to something Adam said where you can't call them out on it, I will rewind a little and say the airport is the one place that you actually can call people out on shit because it's the one place where no one has a gun.
Yeah.
So go ahead and tell them that their feet are gross or that they smell because they're not going to do a fucking thing about it other than maybe yell at you. So if you want to practice calling people out on their gross, dumb shit, the airport is a pretty good place to do it.
I just had that happen.
What happened? Tell.
Not like within the last couple of weeks, I'm on a routine flight from Seattle to Phoenix, and I was wearing a mask because I'm not even concerned about COVID. I just love not getting colds and sick now. And, you know, people have been wearing masks for decades in other Japan, for example. Anyway, not to defend my mask wearing, but
wear away, dude.
I'm on the plane and Delta Comfort Plus, and we're sitting there waiting for people to get on, and I'm in the aisle seat. This guy who's like kind of a frat bro-y kind of dude gets on and sits in the middle seat next to me and like shoves my arm off the rest. But I'm like, you know what? Could have done without that, but he is in the middle seat. I would have given him the rest anyway. Didn't like how he handled it. But then he starts looking at his phone and starts laughing at a video, which I'm sure was not that funny. And he spits like he goes, tuh, and then he gets spit on my hand.
Ooh.
So I said, hey, you just spit on my hand. Can you just kind of contain yourself? And I said it just because it was gross, not because I was concerned about COVID, just because I just generally don't like to be spit on. And, and so I said, and he goes, COVID's over, bro. You don't need to wear a mask no more. He said it in kind of a, I don't know what he was going for. But those are the words he used. And so I took umbrage and I said, fuck you. And
did you really? Is that what you said? Fuck you, just write that in there.
Wow. Yeah, I just said fuck you, and then I waited for the plane to board, everyone to board, and I called a flight attendant over, and I said, this guy's giving me a hard time about my mask. Can you please move him? And then the flight attendant says, if you guys won't stop arguing, we're going to kick you both off the plane. And I was like, you have a sign on the thing on the way in that says no one can say something to you about a mask. I'm just pointing out that he did, and I want him gone. So he moved him to the last row next to the bathroom. Victory.
Dang.
But it did. I will say, and he denied having said anything to me. Okay. And then the whole rest of the flight, the flight attendant came over to me like I was some sort of mental patient who was going to crumble. And I'm like, dude, he spit on me. I don't care about, I'm not worried about COVID. I just think he's gross and he's an asshole.
Exactly.
I'm like, he's a gross asshole and I don't want him next to me. And the flight attendant came over, kept offering me like, what do you want to drink? Do you want, you can have a whiskey, whatever you want, anything. And it was like a 9 a.m. flight. So I had seven Jack Daniels. No. Anyway, I'm sorry. This story petered out long ago, but all by way of saying.
But it does tell me that you were offended by something and you said something and it worked out in the right.
Which
it is kind of back to what we're talking about of like when these people who are annoying you in air travel, and as Andrew said very wisely, they're not armed. This is the one.
This is an air marshal, which case, well, you fucked up and you got to run out. It's the Russian roulette of the plane. Yeah, you might talk shit to the air marshal. Oh, well.
in which case, buy a scratch ticket that day because your radar is great. But, like, I don't know. It's the one American social experiment where you can be sure you're not going to get fired on if you say whatever it is you want to say to that person. So, I don't know. Yeah. If you're that type,
I think I could say it. I think I could do better, though, speaking up on planes, for sure. Especially when you're in the middle seat and the people next to you are trying to get those armrests. It's like, No, no, no. These are my armrests. We are not sharing them. You do not get them because you're wider shouldered than me. These are my armrests. I'm in the middle seat. It's the shittiest seat on the fucking plane. I'm getting both the armrests. But then you got to play that little game. Like, what are we playing? Like footsie under the table? Like, get your fucking elbow off here.
Yeah.
I should just get better being like, hey, I think everybody knows the middle seat gets the armrests. And then just leave it at that. Or be like, hey, if you want the armrest so bad, how about we switch seats and I'll take this window seat off your hands? Because I'm cool with that.
What if you just said that to somebody? That's a great thing to say. And then they probably lay off the fucking armrest.
They'd be like, oh, yeah, all right. I don't know if they just don't know that. They're like, oh, yeah, I get everything, actually. I get the window and I get the armrest. No, you do not. But I can work on that.
Well, we got to wind it down at some point, so I don't think we're going to get to the etiquette of loud phones. This is going to be a whole other episode because that's a great, great subject we can talk about at length.
Yeah, and it hits a little close to home.
It does. And we're going to have to maybe have a sort of bit of an intervention on that one.
An intervention.
So you guys are saying I'm coming back for a bonus episode.
Coming back on the pod to give one member of the Grolics.
You're going to come and do it live and in person after you do the national anthem at the Colorado Avalanche at Ball Arena when we see you fucking ripping a solo at the mile.
Oh, this is amazing. I hope you don't get a lot of hate mail.
Your
listeners are going to be like, this Dave Hill, what a entitled prick.
We love the controversy. That's why people listen, is for the controversial hot takes of the Grolics.
Hot takes, sure.
Can I say two quick, you were talking about subgenres of dresser like Andrew, who goes off to the woods as soon as he lands. Two that I think we get in Denver more than most that always kill me every time, they make me laugh, are the person who thinks that they're going to ski off the plane. So they've got like, they're in a full winter coat. They got their gloves. They're ready to roll. I'm like, buddy, you're going to land and it's about 2.5 hours.
You got a road trip ahead of you, friend.
But they're just like so amped to ski.
And it's 58 degrees in Denver.
And you can see the price tags hanging off all the new shit and they're just ready to ski. That always kills me. And the other one is you see this a lot out west, but it's typically women who are really excited about their mountain trip, and they've got a cowboy hat. They've got
the fucking
cowboy hats. And they're ready to, like, they've watched an episode of Yellowstone, and they're going to Montana on this trip, and they're ready to take some photos. And you can see groups of women wearing their cowboy hats.
Oh, fully.
I had a date a while ago when I first was single, and there was a woman that I had matched with on an app who in the photo was wearing the hat, the round brimmed hat, the one I hate at every fucking concert because I can't see by your dumb fucking head.
Right.
And then I see it in the plane and I didn't go because of the hat. And this could have been a nice person. Yeah.
No.
Thank you, Dave. I knew
sign
you
of larger
it.
Problems. I think you shouldn't even be allowed to buy a cowboy hat if you can't prove ownership of livestock.
Yeah. Or you at least have to lasso something in the store. They hand you a lasso and they're like,
rope,
lasso
rope
literally
tricks.
Anything in the store.
No, rope your hat. If you can rope your hat, you can get it. It's yours.
Yeah.
But rope the hat into your lap.
That's the new rule.
That's the rule of Rift City. If you can
rope your hat, when I grew up, a man knew how to rope his own hat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a simpler time. I should probably be saving this gold for episode 2 or 3. But the thing I've noticed recently,
it's the Dave Hill trilogy of Grolics Saves the World.
The last time I flew this past week, not to brag, there was a woman who had 4 hats stacked because clearly she was going somewhere. She was like, I don't want to wear the same hat all the time. And then I saw, which I almost thought was worse, was a guy who had 4 baseball caps strapped to like his backpack, and I was like, why you're gonna mix up your hats? No one cares. Pick a cap, just go with it. 4 on the backpack, 1 on the head.
That's insane. That's like a children's tale. We gotta be practical. We gotta give at least a guess at ways to improve this. So I think, Dave, be the change you wish to see in the world, and maybe start competing with Nick Thune on Instagram for best dressed at the airport, because if anyone has the style to do it, it's you.
I'm coming for it.
I want to see this battle.
I think that that, honestly, truthfully, is a way to start affecting that, is by making it a trend to look as good as you can when you fly. Like, being like, fuck, I look dapper, and making funny videos with that. That changes it. That catches on. If that became a TikTok thing where people would be like, you know, like just getting as fucking decked out as they can before they get on an airplane, that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. And you're so right. If that was a social trend of like, look at this drip of me, I'm taking off on the plane, everyone would be competing to do it. Suddenly we're flying through the skies looking classy as fuck.
I'm going to do it.
I'd love it.
Still going to wear camouflage cargo pants, but I'll enjoy the view. I'll enjoy the view.
You'll be happier.
Well, you never know when you're going to have to storm a Capitol building, Andrew, and that's always been your sort of MO when it's dressing. So.
So I say that. I say be the change and put it online. And if you feel like tagging your Grolix friends or the Grolix Comedy Podcast, let us see how good you're looking in the skies. We would love to see it. I know Dave would love to see it. And also maybe do Andrew's experiment, because there's no guns. Just tell people off to their face.
Practice speaking up for yourself in a safe environment.
Andrew and I agree on that one. I have a mouth at the airport for that exact reason. If something upsets me, I'm like, this is my world, man. I worry about weapons. That's a lot of times why I keep my mouth shut. But yeah, if we're at a Sbarro, you know what I mean? We're hanging out in the line. I'm looking for my breakfast fucking dough wrap thing or whatever they are. You know what they're talking about? The little one that's got the egg and the cheese in it that's curled around dough.
No one knows what
you're talking about. And Dave already said he hates wraps. Why are you?
No, it's not a wrap.
It's breakfast calzone.
Sort of that, but a smaller version of that. And somebody gets, you know, tries to cut me in line, you're going to get fucking shin kicked. I'll kick you in the shins. Because you're not going to do shit. What are you going to do? Hit me with your fucking bag?
Ben will set it up, Dave, because he always says the same thing when threatened. He goes, hey, if you cut me a line again, it would be bad for your health.
Bad for your health.
It's going to be very bad for your health.
Surgeon General's warning.
And then an airport has to ride up on his battle chariot three-wheeler and break up this, like, shin-kicking fight at the Sbarro. It's a whole thing.
That's amazing.
Well, this has been an amazing episode. I'm not sure what we solved in the world, but fuck, did I laugh a lot. we decided that we're going to dress up more. We're going to try to dress up more as it pertains to going to the airport.
I wouldn't say that we decided that.
Well,
at all,
Andrew, you're going to fucking
maybe
try
on an individual
it,
level.
Fucking you shut can, your fucking mouth, Dave.
You can
Hill
dress
is here.
Up at the airport if you want.
No, you're going to dress up.
Guys, can we thank Dave for being our first guest in the new format of the podcast? Dave,
thanks
for being the first.
Thank
host.
You so
yeah,
much.
Thank
you. I'm honored. Thank you. Dave.
And Dave, we are going to really, once again, one more time, for real, anybody out there, let's get this guy playing the fucking national anthem at a Colorado Avalanche game.
Yes, I love this
that
idea.
That would be fucking amazing. So,
and Dave, do you have, where can people find you? Is there anything you'd like to plug real quick?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, I would love to plug my new book, The Awesome Game, One Man's Incredible Globe-Crushing Hockey Odyssey. It's about hockey, as hinted in the title. But I've written it for all to enjoy, even people who hate sports. And then social media is at Mr. Dave Hill, at Mr. Dave Hill.
Yeah, and
I'm coming to your town. I'm coming to your town.
Get a chance. Go see Dave and give him a follow, because your feed is fucking ridiculous and so funny.
Oh,
we never even got into the fact that you are pretty much, you're pro-am right now, BMX. And we didn't talk about that
we
at
didn't.
All.
It's I, a lot. I'm sponsored now. This is for episode 4 probably, but I'm sponsored by Mongoose now.
We're up at 4 episodes already.
It's true. It's a true fact.
We're going to have to make this a residency. This isn't even a trilogy. This is going to it's going to have to be a residency.
I'm not even joking. Yeah, yeah.
I'm
the oldest. I believe to be the oldest newly sponsored BMX rider on earth.
Yeah.
You rule, Dave. You rule. This is awesome.
You're the man. And I think there's no better way to go into our act three than why don't we listen to some to a clip of what I think you do best. I love all of it. I love the gang stuff. I think you've really made a gang that everybody can get behind.
Sure.
I think your BMX skills are totally revolutionary. This is a new style. It's old school. It's new school. It's everything at once.
It's just training wheels.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but your stand up is truly amazing. So, why don't we do this? Listen to some live stand up comedy from our good pal and guest. Thank you so much for being here, Dave Hill. And when we return, third actors, you're on deck, the best third act in the biz. Plus, we're going to have finally some good fucking news segment. So everybody, please enjoy Dave Hill and then stay tuned and join us for act three.
I've been hanging out at Guitar Center a lot lately, actually. I like to just go there and rip some fucking solos. I'll just like walk in, there'll be like some 15-year-old kid sitting there playing guitar, playing like Ed Sheeran or some bullshit. And I'm just like, give me that fucking thing, you sit the fuck down. And then I just start ripping some sweet solos and he's like, I wanna get out of here, mister. I'm like, you sit the fuck down. And then I just keep ripping some sweet solos and he's like, you're scaring me, mister. I'm like, you're damn right, I'm scaring you. Then I keep ripping some sweet solos and then he starts crying. And then his mom comes in and she's all pissed off because she's also like kind of turned on because of all the sweet solos I've been doing. And I like Guitar Center because it's the only store I can think of that can get away with like vaguely threatening radio ads. They'll have like the guy with the low boomy voice and he's like, Guitar Center, come on down and you find it anywhere else for less and we'll kick your fucking ass, you piece of shit. It's like, hold up, Guitar Center, I was just thinking of buying a pack of strings. I don't want any conflict, I'll pay a full price. Or they'll make these offers that seem like a little too good to be true. They're like, Guitar Center, this Memorial Day weekend, come on down and spend over $500 and we'll let you take Chris from the keyboard department in the back and do whatever the fuck you want with him. It's like, hold up a second, Guitar Center. I was just thinking of getting a ukulele for my niece. She's showing an interest in music. I don't even know. Guitar Center, this Thanksgiving, come on down and buy any guitar and amp combo and we'll let you take Don, the floor manager, out by the dumpsters and humiliate him in front of his whole fucking family. It's like, hold up, Guitar Center. I went to high school with Don. He's a good man. I don't want any part of this. Guitar Center, you remember that kid Danny that went missing the summer after junior year? He's been in our basement this whole fucking time. Come on down and put cigarettes out on his face. It's like, hold up, Guitar Center. I'm losing interest in music real quick. It's a weird store, is my point.
And we are here in the third act, the place you want to be. Third actors, nice to see you. Nice to hear from you. We had an incredible episode. Dave Hill was on it. We had a lot of fun, but you don't give a fuck about that. You're here for the plugs. You're here for the credits. You're here to hear Ben say, play us out, Charlie, at some point, or will one of us cut him off? It's always like, will they, won't they? It's the Ross and Rachel of tags of podcasts. But more and more, a lot of you are coming for this good news segment. And
finally, it's some good fucking news.
Which That's is what we're calling it because no other alternatives are emerging, and reluctantly that is how we're referring to it. So Ben, take her away, my friend.
I love this little story, and we're going to post the link so you can see this, but as many people are experiencing and know, a lot of the planet right now is the temperatures, we've been coated in an Arctic chill, a blast. And
I like to say Arctic. I go hard with the C's. Arctic.
I like it too. Arctic blast. But there obviously that puts humans in peril. But a lot of times it's those weakest among us and those most susceptible. It's our friends in the animal kingdom. And there was a story out of China where a woman found a cat, a kitten, completely frozen underneath her bushes in her front yard. And she brought the cat in and brought it back to life using a hairdryer. It had been frozen in suspended animation for a very short time. And this woman used towels and a hairdryer. And there is a video of her reviving this kitten with it and saving it. And now this cat lives with her. And I got to say, y'all, this little cat got me because now he's running around and he's on the tile and the linoleum floor and he's skidding all around. I'm watching it.
Well,
right
I'm
now.
Starting to question the legitimacy of this news segment
I don't
altogether
care,
because this was a Garfield.
Care. This was
this
from
was
Reuters.
A Garfield. Everyone remembers it. Garfield's
but
frozen
he had had
in
too
the
much
snow.
Lasagna. He had had he's too much lasagna.
He's in his lasagna.
John
torpor.
Was trying to kill him. John had finally had enough and had put Garfield out to die.
That's wild that a cat could get frozen and like be brought back to life just with a hairdryer. Pretty nuts.
And the video is going viral, and so we'll post that in the show notes. But
not there, one of my clips goes viral. This goes viral. What the fuck?
But if you froze a little, and we could revive you.
Yes, let us freeze you. Stay outside tonight, and we'll use hair dryers to see if we can bring Adam back. Who would like to see that? We'll
do a Flatliners. Flatliners zero budget edition.
The reason why I can't afford not to do this.
The reason why I love this story so much is that when I was looking for this, there were dozens of articles about animal shelters calling for people to help with animals who needed shelter during this deep freeze. And they were overwhelmed by people willing to take in animals. And I think this is when human beings often show the best of themselves, I think, is, you know, when the way we care for animals at times, not all the time, don't get me wrong, but this is when we do. And I love this. So, yeah, with these cold temperatures, take care of your pets. Here's some great stories about that. So anyway, that's our good fucking news for the day. Way to go, lady in China, for doing that.
Hey, Ben, amazing. I love you, you filthy animal.
Get out of here. I'm going to fucking kill you.
Okay.
But anyway, that's the story. I love it. And like I said, link is down in the show notes for that. But Andrew, how are you feeling this morning? Do you think you can hit the notes? Do you think you can get?
Oh, I think so. Notes? What are you talking about? It's all
do you think
percussive.
You can get? Are you can?
Pucks,
can you get
pucks, 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 pucks.
Yeah, there it is. He always laughs about three quarters of the way through.
Have a good time.
All right, Andrew, you're up, my buddy.
February 9th and 10th, right around the corner, a Friday and Saturday night, I'm going to be at the Denver Comedy Underground recording my third album and hopefully special, and I want to see you down there. There should still be some tickets available. Check those out in the link in the show notes.
Absolutely, go support Andrew, and once that sells out, which it should and will, come to my show. I'm doing my one-man show, Happy Place, on February 10th at the Buntport Theater in Denver. It's a one-man show I've been doing on and off, and I haven't done it in almost about a year, but I'm kicking the dust off of it and got a lot of plans for it this 2024, and that all starts at the Buntport Theater on February 10th, so come see my show, Happy Place. And as always, our live show is the last Saturday of the month. This month, we have Amy Silverberg coming in, and she's going to headline. And we have the very funny Ed Bell on the show as well. The show is February 24th. Get your tickets in the show notes now. Those tend to sell out. Who wants to take a stab at the quick credits?
I'm already on it. A big shout out to our lovely producer, Ron Doyle, for making this show happen. Big thank you to Mike Henderson for his help recording at our live show. The theme music, as always, by our lovely Charlie Continental. Please follow us anywhere you can on social media at Grolix Comedy. And as always, support us and get ad-free episodes and other perks on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Grolix Saves. We will be back next Tuesday, but this is what you always wait for, is when
play
I get
us
to
out,
say,
Charlie!
You motherfucker!